Good evening, ladies. It's an honor to share this time with you. It's a special time. Come on in. It's a special time on the calendar. This is the time that we call Bein Kesel LaAsor. This is what the Gemara tells us and the Rambam emphasizes, is the period of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, beginning with Rosh Hashanah, concluding on Yom Kippur. So this is our chance. You know, it's Thursday night, Yom Kippur is right around the corner, and it's our chance to think about something that we can take away from Yom Kippur. And now, we know that these things, experiences like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they're very personal. And as everyone here knows, I've never been a high school girl. So I can't tell you what it's like to be in your shoes, or knee socks, or whatever you guys do. But I could maybe share some ideas that you can then take with you and incorporate into your own lives, into your own davening, into your own experiences, and that you can make something meaningful out of it. Does that make sense? So I'm going to give you some thoughts. I'll share these ideas, and then you can think about what it's going to mean to you. And the most important question that I want to focus on tonight, which I think is something that we should all take some time to think about, is what is my goal for Yom Kippur as a person? What should I try to take away from Yom Kippur for me as a person? As a Jew, as an Oved Hashem, as a human being, how am I supposed to feel after Yom Kippur? And why am I supposed to feel that way? Why am I supposed to think that way? Okay, this is really what I want to focus on tonight. And I think that from one perspective, there are two words that we can take away from Yom Kippur. Two, maybe very important, maybe the most important, if not the most important, two crucial words from the Yom Kippur experience that are reinforced in the Machzor. Some of you know the Yom Kippur Machzor can be very long. Some of us have an English Machzor that has Hebrew and English in it, so it's quite thick. Some of us spend some of our davening trying to figure out how many pages are left, how many pages we covered, how many can we skip. How many can we skip? How many have we said? What we can suggest tonight is that the two key words to take away from the Yom Kippur experience are the words, I matter. I matter. Those could be the two most important words that we'll take away from Yom Kippur. And let me explain what I mean by that. You know, during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, both at Shacharis and at Mincha, we say something additional. We add something to our tefillos, which we started saying on Rosh Hashanah. We say it sometimes during the year. We say it on fast days. We're going to say it on Yom Kippur, and we're going to say it multiple times on Yom Kippur. And I'm referring to the tefillah of Avinu Malkeinu, which dates back already to the time of the Gemara. And Avinu Malkeinu is a very powerful tefillah. We open the Aron Kodesh for Avinu Malkeinu. And there's an important inference of Avinu Malkeinu. So first of all, I should close this door in case we need to walk through. First of all, as a Kohen, so I go to the Amma Tuduchen, to the front of the shul, and when I was a child, I davened in a shtibel, where we had very special people who davened there, old European Jews, and one of them was a particular a warm character, so he used to sit in the front of the shul that's called the Mizrach Vant on the east side of the shul. And my brother's a year and a half younger than me, so he would tell us jokes, Yiddish folklore jokes, when we go to Duchen. For example, one of the jokes was, what do the Kohanim have kavana when they say the bracha of Birchas Kohanim? So he used to say, so that no one should steal their shoes. And then another time, he asked us, my brother and I, he asked us, how many Avinu Malkeinus are there? How many are there?
Four.
Say that again?
Four.
That's right. So my brother and I were like 8, 9 years old. We're thinking like, how many are there? We're counting on our fingers, our toes, our everything. And then he said, just one. That's right, just one. And here's the key question, okay? That's big. Avinu Malkeinu is huge. That's obviously a big piece of Rosh Hashanah. It's also going to be a big piece of Yom Kippur. But what is the subtext or the inference of the statement Avinu Malkeinu. That's very good if you talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam, but what does it say about me? What would you say?
Are you asking?
Yeah.
Well, first it says Avinu before Malkeinu.
Great, yes.
We're first mentioning that he's our father.
Yes.
And then he's our king. So to know that, like, he has the love of a father, and then we're also servants to him as a king.
Great. So that's number one. A relational type of thing. You know, what's priority in terms of this relationship? Awesome. What's your name? Thanks. Yeah?
Also, I think Avinu is like more mercy and Malkeinu is more advanced.
That's right. So when you relate to someone, so the Gemara has an idea that Smol Doche and Yamin Mekareves, your right hand, how many of us are righties? Okay, the vast majority of us are righties. No disrespect to the lefties, but the vast majority of us are righties. So what happens... Dr. Belkovitz has an amazing idea. The Gemara says that your stronger hand, your yamin, that's mekareves, and your small is doche, it pushes away. Well, Dr. Belkovitz likes to point out, my teacher, he's a prominent psychologist, he points out what happens when you take one hand and you pull yamin mekareves and small doche at the same time. You turn something around. You see that? So, yes, we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Yemin, the Avinu, the Rachamim comes first. Awesome. Who else had a hand? Someone else. Yes. Well, what's your name?
Meira.
Yes, thank you. Greenland. In case, just have to know each other. Yes.
That, like, Avinu is our father, so it's showing that, like, number one, he is, like, he loves us, so he wants to help us.
Great.
And you're also from Malkeinu, so not only does he want to help us, he also has a power.
That's right. They were mechaving to a beautiful idea of Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, in the Shabbos Malkus, that he has the capacity to help us. But here's my deeper question. If he's Avinu Malkeinu, so what are we?
We're a child and a servant?
Yes. But what does it mean to be the child of the king?
You have to love him.
Yes. But what does it mean that I am? Yes?
Keep, matter.
We matter. If my father is the king, that means that I'm a prince. That means that you, ladies, are princesses. That's what it means. When you say Avinu Malkeinu, you are reinforcing this idea that I matter because I'm the princess. I'm a very important person in this kingdom. And my father, with a capital F, thinks that I'm very important. We all know that the king always thinks that the princess is the most important. This is the cornerstone of the Yom Kippur experience, of understanding that we matter, and we'll develop some of the ideas that you talked about. You know, a lot of Yom Kippur is about vidui. Vidui is about talking about things that we did and didn't do. Okay? A lot of them relate to mitzvos. What does the word mitzvah mean? So on one level, it means commandment. But on another level, many Svarim HaKadoshim, holy works, refer to mitzvah, comes from an Aramaic word, which is tzavsa. Tzavsa, what's that?
Connection.
Yes, connection, or a pair. For example, when you go on an El Al flight, all the people who work on the plane are called the tzevet, because they're a team. They're connected to each other. The staff, if they work together, are called a tzevet. Because from the word tzavsa. So a mitzvah is an opportunity for connection. It's an opportunity for us to connect to Hashem Yisbarach. And he gives us a lot of those. Imagine you have a cord like a very thick rope. How do you make a rope? What do you do? Anybody know? You ever go to a shipyard and you see them make ropes? How do they make ropes?
They tie knots.
Yes. What do you tie now? How do you get a cord? How do you make it? Anybody know? Seriously. Like my tzitzis, they're made out of, it's not one string, right? It's a lot of strings that are twisted, one on top of the next, and then more is twisted and more and more and more, all twisted together to make a huge rope. When we were... We're living on the East Coast. We went to a place called Mystic, Connecticut, which is a port city. And they teach you there all things about maritime life. They teach you how to make ropes. Enormous, thick ropes that would hold giant barges. They all start with one little string. And then they add another string and another string. And they start kind of twisting them together and then together and then together and more and more and more strings all together until you end up with a huge rope. Our connection to Hashem, kivyachol, so to speak, is a giant rope. That huge rope is made up of tiny little mitzvos. Each little mitzvah, it's from the word savsa. It's a little connection. Yaakov, chevel, the rope, nachalaso. So when we perform each one of those mitzvahs during the year, that forges a connection. And the details matter. Hashem Yisbarach wants us to do these mitzvahs. It's not for His good. He doesn't get anything. Im titzdak matiten lo, Hashem doesn't benefit in any way. But we benefit because we develop this connection. Well, how do we want to do our mitzvahs? So imagine you want to develop a relationship with someone. So I don't believe that anybody in this room is married except for Mrs. Kraft, correct? No one else is married. Okay, just checking. So I'm married, Baruch Hashem, married 13 years. Got it, 13. So imagine it came time for my anniversary, and instead of buying my wife a gift that she likes, thinking about what's important to her, and then writing a card. You know, imagine I bought a card and I wrote a whole message on it that was particular to her, and I bought her flowers, and she likes a very particular kind of flower. She likes tulips and a couple of other flowers. So instead of doing that, which was my first choice was buy a gift that I know she likes, write a handwritten card with a message that's about her, and pick up flowers that are the flowers that she likes. My other option is option B, another option, and it's going to cost me, you know, just as much money. I will go online and I'm going to drop $100 or $50 or whatever it's going to cost to a gift site. And I'm going to have them, it's going to be so much more efficient. I'll have them pick, you know, they have a lot of different gift ideas. I'll have them pick the gift idea, write the card, tell them it's anniversary card, give them my wife's name so they can fill out the card, and have them send whatever flowers they like to send to people that fit for the anniversary. I probably will get a thank you for gift B, option B, but is that preferable or should I go with A? What would you say? What's that? A, and you're not even married, you know A already. Why is A better than B? Yeah, it's personal. The fact that I take the time to write the card that's particular to my spouse is significant. When we fulfill mitzvos, when we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we take the time to do them properly, which is not an easy thing to do, but when we do that, we build a very particular and strong connection, rather than, that's the mitzvah in category A, rather than just the generic mitzvah. So what happens when we don't, we fell short? You know, we were running, and it happens to me all the time. This probably maybe happens to some of you. Maybe my davening today, maybe it stank. Maybe it was the worst davening anyone's ever seen in the history of davening. Could be. Maybe my shachris today was the worst davening in the history of davening. But because it's about a relationship with Hashem, because it's about a mitzvah zitzavsa, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He says, you know what? I didn't get the connection just there. Why don't you try it again? Try again. Try again. Try again. You ever have that you're trying to FaceTime someone? You ever have that? Some of you know how to FaceTime. Now, I can't FaceTime anyone because my phone is this. It's not a smartphone, Baruch Hashem. It's a special order. It's not easy to get a phone like this, I'm telling you. I had to buy it on eBay. But people in my family do have the smartphone. And I could even say without a smartphone, this actually works as a telephone where you can call people. Do you know about this? Calling people on the telephone? So sometimes I have a grandmother, she should live and be well, behind her, she's 92 years old, she lives in Yerushalayim. And her hearing is not, mom is the best of the best. She's 92 and I'm calling Yerushalayim. So what happens when I call my grandmother and she says, I can't hear you, it's a bad connection. What do I say? Do I say, forget it? What do I say, Kayla? You hang up and you say,
I'll call you somewhere else.
I'll call you again. I'll call you from another phone. Because this call is important to me. This connection is important to me. I'm not just going to be like, you know what? You're right. I can't hear you. See you later. Good luck. Have a good life. I'll try again. You know, sometimes you guys maybe go away to camp, and someone in your family tries to reach you, or you're FaceTiming someone, and the FaceTime thing says, you know, unavailable, not connecting. You see they're there. You hear them there. You only see, like, you ever have those bad connections where you see, like, a quarter of someone's face? Just that? Yeah, you've seen that. Like, it's like, and you're like, but I want to see your whole face, so I'll call you back. I'll try again. I'll try to connect again. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us. When we say, Al Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha, on the missed call, on the fact that we missed the mark, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you know, forget about it. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I'm affording you the gift of tshuva, because what you do matters. Your mitzvahs matter. Your connections matter. And you're right, you didn't hit it that time, so let's give it another try. Let's call again. Let's try to reconnect again. The word chet. Anybody know what the word chet means? Okay? One translation is the word sin, which is like a really intense and awesome word. Awesome in the sense of dread, and awesome in the sense of... Everybody loves the word sin. It's very useful this time of year, you know? A lot of sins. We're talking about sins, piling sins everywhere. But if you look at the Tanakh, the word chet means something very particular and specific. Imagine we were to draw a bullseye behind me on an imaginary wall. Anybody ever here go and try to shoot a bow and arrow? Yes, you've done it, archery. There's actually a place. I was once there, somewhere here in Chicago. We went together with friends of ours to this archery place. I was very bad. They put up a bullseye, and they give you the bow, and you pull the string back with the arrow, and you're supposed to look. You're not supposed to close your eyes. If you close your eyes, it doesn't work so well. You're supposed to watch it, and then the arrow shoots ahead in this wherever we are, in this, like, you know, big industrial complex somewhere in Chicago, and the arrow zings across, and it hits the bullseye somewhere, hopefully. So what happens, in the middle, there's a red dot in the middle of the target, and then there's yellow, and then there's red. I'm thinking about the cartwheel app as I'm doing this. You hit the middle of the target, it's a bullseye, it's awesome. What happens if you miss and you're a little bit off? You were supposed to be here and your arrow went here. So that is what the Navi refers to as lahachati es hamatara, to miss the mark. Lahato means to miss. To miss the mark. It's to not be connected. So, yes, the word chet means a sin, but what it really means is, I was trying to connect and I missed. I was aiming to go here and I went there. So how do you shoot an arrow? You pull it back, all the way back, you hold the bow, let's say I'm right-handed, so I hold the bow in my left arm, I pull it back with my right arm, so I have to have my shoulder is very straight. Okay? So keep this vision in your mind of your shoulder. And I'm going to share with you the most important thing in life. If you walk away with anything, it's this. The most important thing in life. Now you're thinking, all right, Shkoyach, the guy tells you what he thinks is the most important thing in life. It's like reading, you know, the horoscope. No, it's not. Because I'm not saying it is. Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, who was perhaps one of the most important, significant, profound Jews to live in the last century. He was both a Gaon, a tremendous Torah giant, as well as a thinker and a leader in the Jewish community. So Rav Soloveitchik says, I'll tell you what is the most important thing in life. And not only that, he says, I'll tell you who I learned it from. He learned it from his mother. The Rav says, and he writes this in the Hesped for the Tolner Rebbetzin in the 1970s, he says, the most important thing in life is to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. The Rav said this is the most important thing in life, is to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. That's because the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that we go through life like an archer. We're trying to hit a target. When we wake up in the morning, we're trying to hit that target. And sometimes we make it and sometimes we miss. But we should remember, the most important thing is to remember that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there and He has His hand on our shoulders, trying to make sure that the next time we hit it, we get it straight. We find the mark. We don't miss the mark. We find the mark. And what does the Ribbono Shel Olam do? He's constantly putting more arrows in the quiver. He says, you know what? You missed the mark today. It's okay. You'll get it tomorrow. You know why? Because your arrows matter. You can't just say, what's another one here or there? This is a relationship. These are the connections that we have. It's a tzavza. The mitzvahs are the tzavza. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking for them. So he says, you know, take another shot. I'm there. I'm holding you by the shoulder to try to help you straighten it out. That's what we're going to say, al chait, when we miss the mark. But don't worry. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, and this is what Rav Moshe Cordoviro, who's a great Kabbalist, explains in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachmim. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I knew you before you did that mistake, before you missed the mark, and I'm here for you afterwards. Because you matter. I'm not just going to say, oh, somebody else can do it. You're not just interchangeable. Every person matters. Every action we do matters. The same way that you might have said, look, does it really matter whether the gift, whether the birthday or anniversary gift, it's group B or group A? Of course it matters. Every anniversary, every birthday, every gift, every relationship, every piece of that, it really matters. There is an image you can have in your mind. I'll tell you two stories that relate to the significance of mattering and making choices that affect us on Yom Kippur for the whole year. One is about a young man, another one is about a young woman. There was a young man who left home at a young age because he had to go work. It was challenging circumstances. He had to go work as a teenager. And he found himself, he was living in like a kind of a rundown apartment. And every day, on his way home from work, he would walk down a particular street. And along the street, there was a shop. There was a glass front in front of a strip mall. And behind this strip mall, there was, you know, a bunch of stores lined up. And in one of the particular panes of glass that he passed by, there was someone inside who was motioning him to come inside. It was a woman who was telling him, come on in, come on in. And on the sign of the store, it said it sold sneakers, Hamachuna gym shoes. It's a sneaker store, but the truth is, they never sold any sneakers in this store. They sold a lot of other things that were not legal nor healthy. It was a front. And every day, the young man would walk past the store, he would look in the glass, and he would see the woman saying, come on in. Come on in. And every day, he had that struggle inside of himself. Should I go? It's interesting. I have never experimented. I'll find out. How bad could it be? I know my parents told me that it was really dangerous stuff and it's illegal, but maybe. Finally, one day he walks by and he's thinking, you know what? I'm on my own. Whatever. I'm just going to go in there. I'm just going to try it. And as he gets to the door, which of course is a glass door with the glass facade, he looks in the window of the door and he sees an image of his father's face. And his father is looking at him in the mirror, in the window, because sometimes when you look at a clear glass, you see something. He sees an image of his father and his father is speaking to him. And his father says, you know, we invest in you. We care about you. Your future and your life, it matters. Don't throw it away. And he does a double take, and he runs away from the door. So you know whose story that is. That's the story that the Medrash tells us about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik walked by this woman, her name was Ashes Potiphar, every day. Until one day, he decided, you know what, let me try it. But before he made that crucial decision, he saw what the Medrash says is, Dumust Yukno Shel Aviv, in the Chalon. Now, I don't know what their Chalonos looked like back then, but I envision it was a glass plate. And when he looked at the glass, he saw his father, and his father, Yaakov Avinu, was telling him, you're one of the Shivtei Ka, and you're going to go do that? You're too good for that. You're too important for that. It's beneath you. So he runs away. But do you know what the other way to look at this pshat is? What happens when you look in the glass? What do you usually see? Right. I think the other way to look at this medrash is that when the Medrash says that he saw his father in the glass, it means he saw himself. Yosef saw the image of his father in himself. He says, it's not that my father is talking to me. It's I'm talking to myself. I realize now that I am too important because my father believes in me. It's not just that he believes in me, it's that I believe in myself. Dumust Yukno Shel Aviv, he understood deep down in himself, when he saw himself in the mirror, he saw his father who believed in him. So to transform that into a more contemporary story, along the lines of something that someone shared with me, there was a young woman who had many challenges in life. And she kind of ended up all over the place. And she had nonetheless a telephone, a smartphone. She had a connection to the outside world wherever she went. And her grandmother, who cared a lot about her, would always call and reach out to her. And apparently on certain phones, even my phone I think can do this if I ask it to, when you receive a call from someone, their picture pops up on the phone. Right? You can do that where you can set someone's picture to pop up on the phone, like if your brother is calling you, then you see the picture of your brother or something, right? Is this correct? I'm not making that up. Right, that's correct. So this woman, Nebuch, she had gone through many, many travails, this young woman. And she was very broken. And she was kind of at the end of her rope. She didn't know where to turn or what to do. And she was kind of thinking, you know, maybe it's all for naught. Maybe it doesn't really matter if I throw my life away. It doesn't really matter anyway. And as she's sitting there in a quiet room all by herself late at night, her phone buzzes, and what does she see? She sees the picture of her grandmother come up on her cell phone. And she sees Dmuks Dyukno. She sees that she does matter. Someone's calling her. Someone's reaching out to her. She realizes she does have some reason to pick herself up, that she does matter. So when we look at ourselves, what are we seeing on Yom Kippur? We need to remind ourselves, Avinu Malkeinu, we are the princess, and the Ribono Shel Olam, our Father in heaven, is calling us. And you see his face on the screen, but that's really a reflection of ourselves and how important we are and how much we matter. So when we say Al Chait, we miss the mark, and we miss the mark a lot of different times. It's we miss the mark, but somebody is there to try to pick us up. Somebody's there to try to give us encouragement. And someone's there to remind us that we matter, and we need to remind ourselves that we matter. Because he's trying to remind us, but that's not enough. You know, someone could tell you all day that you matter until you convince yourself that you do, and maybe that's part of the reason that we have to go through this whole avoda of Yom HaKippurim, of tshuva. It's to remind ourselves that what we do is important. Like the Rambam says, each one of us, the Rambam says, imagine like the whole world, like a giant globe, is in our hands. And that when we make positive decisions, we raise the entire universe up. It's an amazing thing. We matter, each one of us. That little card, when you say, signed, when you say to the Ribono Shel Olam, signed so-and-so, that matters. That's what each one of us is about. So we're going to say, Al Chait, Shechatanu Lefanecha. Because Lefanecha means, Hashem, you gave us everything we have. But think about that word, because this is the phrase that's going to keep coming up. Al Chait, Shechatanu Lefanecha. Al Chait, the fact that we missed the mark. Lefanecha. What does Lefanecha mean? Before you, meaning before Hashem. Do you know there's another time that the word lefanecha, lefnei, is used in the Yom Kippur davening, and we're going to say it again and again and again. Ki vayom hazeh yechaper aleichem letaher eschem mikol chatoseichem, and then the key words, lefnei Hashem titzharu. On this day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to break off all the barriers that separate us. The word lechaper, in this context, the Ksava HaKabbalah writes, it means a barrier, to remove something. He's going to remove all the barriers, and lifnei Hashem titaru. We're going to be purified by being lifnei Hashem. Wait a minute. A second ago we said, Achet Shechatanu lefanecha. We missed the mark in front of you. What does the Rabbanu Shalom say back to us? Don't worry. Lifnei Hashem titaru. And what does that mean, lifnei Hashem titaru? So if you look in the Seder HaAvoda, you know, in the Musaf, there's a long section about the Kohen Gadol and all the service that he would do. There's actually one phrase there that's a little bit interesting. Well, there's a lot of phrases that are interesting. But when the Kohen Gadol says Vidui, one time he says Ana Hashem, which means please God. And the next time he says Ana, look in the Machzor this year, you'll notice it. Ana Vashem. Ana Hashem means please God. Ana Vashem, what does it mean, Vashem? What does that mean? Yeah, in the name, with the name. What does that mean, Kaperna? How does God forgive us with His name? So imagine, for a moment, you know that a lot of the gas stations here in Chicago, some of you drive already, I know this, right? Some of you drive. It's good, Baruch Hashem.
So, at that age.
That's
in Europe, we're too dangerous.
I don't know. So you know how when you go to fill up with gas, they give you two different prices? It took me a while to adjust to that here, right? You don't know how much the gas costs, because one is for with the wash, and one is just the gas. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need a car wash every time I fill up with gas, but that's a separate story. But sometimes you do go for a car wash. What happens when you go to the car wash? You drive the car into this box. It's a gigantic box. And inside the box, it's like the biggest shower party ever. It's like, imagine a bubble bath party for your car. Right? For those who have never done this, it's kedai to do it once just for the fun of it. With the windows closed, obviously. But this is the funnest thing ever. Especially when you're a kid. When we take our kids once in a while to get the car washed, it's the best thing since sliced bread. They're like, you know, they're like trying to get up into glass and the whole thing. What? Right. Girls don't do that?
I don't know.
Yeah? You also like the car wash. Great. In the case of a car wash, you actually have to take the car into the thing. You know, you have to go into the box, and you're totally surrounded by the soap suds, and then there's these giant cloth shmatas that are hitting your car back and forth, and it doesn't break, but it's, you know what I'm saying? It's a big thing. But you have to go in and get the car inside the box to get cleaned up. You can't stand outside and be like, you know what? I'm a little claustrophobic about boxes with shmatas and soap suds. So I'm going to stand over here. We're going to keep the car here. You can run it over there and we're going to be fine. No, that's not how it works. It's by being immersed. It's by being inside of that thing. That's what gets the car clean. When we come to Yom Kippur, the Gemara tells us that Itzumo Shel Yom is Mechaper. The sanctity of the day is what removes all the barriers, all the dirt. Meaning, it's the fact that it is Yom Kippur. Well, how does that work? What does it mean that it's Yom Kippur? So it works. It means that Hashem is so close to us, kivyachol, Hashem is giving us a hug. It's like Hashem is Barach, mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is, you'll excuse me for saying this, God is the car wash on the corner of McCormick and Howard. You go in there and you're just totally surrounded with soap suds. You finally come out, you're like, oh, I'm a chaya, I feel so clean. Because you went through that experience, you were immersed with something that was around you. Itzumo Shel Yom is Mechaper. Lifnei Hashem means that by being in the presence of Hashem, you are enveloped by Hashem. It's like a giant hug. So So when you say Ana Hashem Kaper Na, we say, please God, forgive us. Says Rav Soloveitchik, Ana Bashem, with the name, meaning with the presence of Hashem, with the experience of being close to Hashem, Kaper Na. It's with the shame. It's actually with the presence of God that we are cleansed. It's because we matter that Hashem Yisbarach every year gives us the biggest hug in the history of hugs. It's mamish very, it's very tight. The Rebbe Shlomo is kol yachol. Imagine how tight that is. Squeezing. When I was a kid, we used to have expression, squeeze your guts. Sometimes you got a hug that would squeeze your guts. The Rebbe Shlomo is giving us a hug that will squeeze your guts. All of this is for one reason. It's kilosach boats b'mos hames. He doesn't just want to throw us away. He could do that. But it's because we matter. It's because we are the princess. He is Avinu Malkeinu. So when we're going to go through Yantif, Habal Leinu Latova, I would invite us to think about this. To think about the idea that we're going to constantly say vidu, we're going to articulate the things that we were chote, meaning we missed the mark. But just because we missed the mark, it doesn't mean that we don't matter. Quite the contrary. The fact that there is a process of tshuva reinforces the notion that we do matter. And that's what gives us the springboard for the next year. I can't say for sure, but I know for me, I'm not going to be perfect next year. I'm going to try my best. I'm not going to be perfect. But that's okay. Because right now, I'm committing myself to be improving. And the same way that, you know, I assume everyone here washes their shirts on occasion. You know, you don't wear the same dirty shirt. Why? Why should you wash your shirt tomorrow if it's just going to get dirty the next day? You don't have to answer that question. We all know why. Because you want to wear a clean shirt. We want to come out of Yom Kippur how we want to feel. We want to feel great. We want to feel like we're refreshed, like we're cleansed, like we have something to build off of. And that's only going to happen if, as we go through the Yom Kippur experience, we constantly reinforce the idea that I fill in my name, even though I missed the mark, but the Rebbe Shalom, I'm going to give it another shot. And he's holding my shoulder. To feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of his hand, it's because he believes in us. That's the premise of tshuva, and that's hopefully what will bring added meaning to our experience of Yom Kippur and jumpstart an amazing year to come. So I want to thank you all for coming and wish you all a Gemar Chasima Tova.